This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I had several conversations with the guys. I always meet with a debrief after the game. We talked about the game, talked about, you know, decisions that were made, plays that were made, plays that weren't made, and we talked about, you know, the whole game. So again, I'll meet with those guys later on this afternoon, but just a normal operation that we always have post-game.
Very weird to have not met with the bosses to do the press conference, and then a couple hours later, you're fired. It's a football Monday on a Friday here on The Score, which is presented by Plumbers 911 and Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are here 2 to 6 pretty much every day. We both had planned to not be here today because, you know, holidays, families, and whatnot. But since this thing happened, we wanted to take care of you at least up until halftime of the Westwood One game, of the Chiefs-Raiders game, which we will get you to in progress when the second half begins. Matt Spiegel was like, I want to talk about this, and why shouldn't he? It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. And now he joins me on our show. What's up, Spiegs?
What's up, Lawrence? I love that the bat signal went out and you answered like the radio superhero you are. And now we get to hang out a little bit and frankly rejoice. And we're not rejoicing in Matt Eberflus's demise. We're rejoicing that at least the organization was willing to identify that it's more damaging to leave a dead man walking head coach in place than it is to show whatever emblem of dysfunction they have thought firing a head coach midseason shows. That's been a stupid precedent to hold on to as this thing has decayed more and more. This idea that, oh no, we can't fire a head coach midseason, just because you haven't done so in a century. You know, the world evolves. You as an organization need to evolve. It is slow, and there's all sorts of things to talk about in terms of the awkwardness of how they did it, the lateness with which they did it, because the season is already toast, but at least they did it. And hopefully this team can find some more good things about itself in the remaining weeks that are here, and maybe Thomas Brown can audition well, or at least they can learn enough about Thomas Brown to take him seriously as a head coaching candidate by season's end.
Speaks, let's go back for a second. I'd love to know how you experienced the last 32 seconds of the game.
Just, I was incredulous, Lawrence, as the clock is ticking away, because I understood the initial plan with only one timeout left and not wanting to cut the field down completely and it being third down. I understand the idea, but Caleb either did not get the instructions from either Thomas or Eberflus or both or whatever they were to just go fast, or Caleb is just doing what he's been doing all season long, which is going up to the line and reading things and making the change. But I understood the initial plan of hoping that he snaps it quick, but that's not what he's been doing all season long. You know, even when they've been in hurry up in late game situations,
there's been an assessment at the line of scrimmage.
Yes, yes. So if that's what he's doing, and you see him go into that mode once the microphone from the OC is off at 15 seconds, and you realize, oh no, he's not hurrying. That's when you, as a head coach, and we've seen it a million times, you sprint down the line of scrimmage and you find the ref and you call timeout. As soon as it hits, like what, 18? You know, maybe 17, you'd be ready to do it. And that's when you call timeout and you change your plan. I don't think it was the best plan to begin with, but it was the plan. But as soon as it hits 18 or 17, you call timeout and you change the freaking plan. You change the plan and you throw an out pattern if you decide you want to kick it, or you throw it into the end zone if you want to try and do that, whatever. But you get off your dumbass plan. And to see him freeze and panic like we have seen before, was just unreal, because we've seen it already. But this is what it took, Lawrence. This is the national embarrassment on the holiday on that special kind of island, with Ryan Poles' own best friend, Matt Ryan, torching Eberflus in postgame and that going viral. I'm convinced that it took all of that to get them to break their century-long idiotic stipulation of not firing a coach. I guess it had to be this bad, because we know it's been this bad for weeks and weeks. Eberflus has been a dead man walking, and this thing has been toast in terms of their authority since the Arizona game, and probably the week leading up to that after the Fail Mary. And especially, you knew it during that Arizona game. This thing was toast, man. And you and I have been talking about it, and they didn't want to recognize it and make a change. They just kind of held on to it for this stupid idea of not wanting to show the dysfunction. And they let the season get crapped away in the meantime. And that's just too damn bad.
Speaks, you're so spot on about the reaction. It's Matt Ryan, who was Ryan Poles' quarterback when they were at Boston College together. It's J.J. Watt. It's you know what I mean? Like, there were coaches. Yes. Who Jimmy Johnson is, yes, out there like, hey, what exact Bill Cowher, even Nance at the end of the broadcast says, oh, you know, the Bears botch another one.
Yes.
Like, you had this outcry of people with real, and not guys like us, you know, guys with real NFL bona fides.
Yep.
That were out here telling the Bears as loudly as they could that he has to go. That it wasn't just, oh, that's too bad for the Bears. People were genuinely angry at the type of football they were seeing coached on the Bears sideline.
They really were. I thought Benetti was brilliant on national radio in the same way that you're talking about with Nance. But these are all these are voices in real time, man. And then, as you and I have documented, every chance that we've gotten, we've pointed out what has been a kind of a crazy trend of players on this team being willing to say that the coach messed some stuff up. And it has gone on now for 5 weeks. But what happened last night in that postgame, so to go along with the national voices that you're talking about, to have players, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, you know, several others just flat out say, I don't know why we didn't call a timeout. You know, it takes an extra level of embarrassment for a dysfunctional family business to come to its senses sometimes. And it reminds me of when the NBA All-Star game was in Chicago. And that's finally what it took for Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf to realize, all right, this entire league is laughing at us. And on this big stage, as Chicago's being celebrated, but the Bulls were not part of what was being celebrated that entire All-Star weekend. And, you know, Zach LaVine having to say, we got to do something about this crowd, while he was on ESPN's Get Up or whatever the show was called at the time. And people were like, you know, it's sell the team. So sometimes it takes that level for a dysfunctional family to understand that they finally have to act.
Yeah, and it's I'm curious on how the rest of this is going to go, and I'm with you on, like, I really want Thomas Brown to succeed, and he's now been put into two really awful situations that make it difficult to succeed. But the beauty is, at least with three games under his belt as the offensive coordinator, he's clearly made a connection and an impact on Caleb. And now I'm wondering, like, how we see that manifest itself with him being the interim head coach.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, man. I'm really looking forward to covering it because of the kind of guy he seems to be and how impressive he is. I hope it is an actual audition. At the very least, it's a chance for the Bears to see if he should get a real interview as head coach. I've heard you talking about him, and you and I have talked about him a lot. He's a legit head coaching candidate from a personality perspective, for sure, and from an experience perspective, except for the fact that he's never done it before.
Right.
And sometimes that's a big negative, but so that's why he's getting a shot. But, like, look, this is a better situation than what he had with Bryce Young in Carolina.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
And the results are better. The results are better. Caleb was brilliant yesterday in the second half. And so that's three straight weeks of Caleb showing you some incredible stuff. But we'll see, man. There are about a dozen head coaches who are also the offensive play callers in the NFL right now. Reed and LaFleur and Shanahan and O'Connell and McDaniel. And then it goes down to guys like Shane Steichen and then Sean Payton and Doug Peterson. Like, there are a lot, about a dozen, who do the job. So it's not as rare as perhaps we perceive it as.
Yeah, but three of those guys might be looking for jobs at the end of the season too.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right. And it's so we'll see. You know, it's interesting. And who knows if things go well and he gets the audition and gets the job, he might appoint an OC to actually do it next year. He knows a lot of people in this industry, and that might be the best thing. And those are topics that can come up. But I don't put it past his bandwidth, as we have learned it so far. I don't put it past his intelligence and his ability to multitask to be able to be good at that job. And it's a lot to ask right now, but that's why you give him a chance in a season that, frankly, is already lost. You give him a chance to do it. He's a smart and impressive enough man that he deserves a chance to do it, and I'm really looking forward to watching it.
You know what really stinks about yesterday, too, Spiegs? And Matt Spiegel's joining us here because it's Spiegel and Holmes show, but it really, like, I texted inside the group thread that I was upset at Nance and Romo because I didn't feel like their level of energy matched what the Bears were doing. Like, that became a game in the third quarter. And you're sitting there going, wait a minute, they have a chance here. Like, they have a chance. And over the last 6 weeks, five of these games, we've had those moments, and they weren't able to capture it. And it's so disappointing. Because think about what any of those games would have done for the Bears overall. And maybe it's a good thing they didn't happen because it means Eberflus is gone. But for the guys in the locker room, the guys that are on the field, Caleb Williams in particular, think about what it means if you get one of those wins or you get yesterday's win where they figured out what to do to slow down Jared Goff and the offense. They held them in like right there so that the offense could come back. How glorious a night it could have been for everyone involved had they had their bleep together.
Absolutely. And it was an amazing game. The fact that they came back and made a game shocked a lot of Thanksgiving homes and the Holmes home as well. I know.
Yes.
But I'm sure. But here's the thing. And this is why it's great when we have the opportunity to really have the conversation. Clearly, there are good things that Matt Eberflus has done and built. And the fact that they have battled back and they continuously found themselves in games that they didn't look like they should be is impressive. He's just clearly a guy who does not know how to win. When you talk about teams not knowing how to win, they haven't talked about it enough with head coaches. I mean, we've pointed out the record in one score games. You know, and a lot of that was with a bad roster, but this is a roster that is good enough to win these games, as evidenced by the fact that they've put themselves in it. And he has proven again and again and again that he can't do it. And you yourself pointed out the tone that he has taken after every game of his entire run here, which is that we're getting there. We're getting there. We're building towards something. Like, it's year one of a freaking rebuild. This is year three. Dennis Allen got fired at the beginning of this year in midseason because the Saints clearly didn't have their act together in a season that they thought they should be competitive. I wish to hell Matt Eberflus had been fired in the first half of this season, because this roster and this rookie quarterback are good enough to contend even in this division. That's three straight weeks of winnable games in what some are calling the greatest division in NFL history. It's unbelievable. And if they had done this 5 weeks ago, I believe this team would be standing a chance and we'd be having a very different conversation about what is now a lost season.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know that you got all sorts of stuff to do, man, but I appreciate you heeding the bat signal and coming on here and letting people hear from you, because they want to hear from all of us today. And you know, it's part of this. It's our connection to the Score listener and the Bears fan. And I'm really happy that you were available.
Hey, man, you know, we both have been here a long time. We love that the station is live and local and always available for this kind of thing. And it matters. So thanks to anybody who heard you for the first time or heard us for the first time. I can't wait to chop it up with you starting Monday again, man. We'll have a blast and it's going to be interesting the rest of the way.
All right, Spiegs, go enjoy vegan leftovers.
Dude, that was one of the greatest culinary experiences of my life.
You enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, dude. One of the greatest meals of my life at Superiority Burger in New York. Fascinating. I'll tell you about it.
All right. On Monday, we will get into it for sure. All right, Speaks, be well, man. Tell the family I said a happy weekend off, kind of.
Thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
That is Matt Spiegel, one half of the Spiegel and Holmes show. We will be reunited on Monday's show, and the Iron Man streak will continue. Texter says, Lawrence, does this mean that Shane won the bet? No. The bet was that he would be named the next head coach. We decided in the bet that interim does not work. That interim is a push. So he can be the interim, but if he's not named the real... You know what's funny? I think this is right, too. I'd have to take a look. Thomas Brown can't be hired by the Bears until they interview another minority candidate. This does not fulfill the Rooney Rule.
You are correct. Yes, that is right. They do have to interview someone else.
They've got to interview another candidate. So they can't just even give him the job because he would break the rules of engagement on. And I think that that's good. But I'm hopeful, man. I'm so hopeful. I want him to succeed so badly.
It's another reason why they just had to make the move.
Agreed.
Get a real evaluation on the guy. There is no tangible reason other than your stupid
tradition
yep. to keep Matt Eberflus.
Alex, you are 100% correct. This gives you an opportunity to see what he's like in the building, how he treats people, how he puts together a game plan, how he handles the sidelines. It's the one thing that I think is it's great for him. I'm also guessing there's a nice little bump up in pay to take over as the interim, which is fantastic. But he's got all of this space now to prove himself. And it doesn't even have to be wins. The rest of the Bears' schedule is just as daunting as what's happened over the last few weeks. It's the same teams for the most part, but you throw in San Francisco and Seattle. But it gives him a legitimate chance. If you're Kevin Warren, it gives you a legitimate chance to go, hey, is this guy any good? Like, I think he might be good. Let's find out. And it's not like the playoffs are on the line anymore. I don't know if 9 wins even, like, even if you were to win all of them, I don't know if 9 wins even gets you into the NFC playoffs this year. But that's what I like about it. How we got here is not what I like about it. Right?
Yeah, that part sucked.
Sean, it really, really, really sucks. Are there still people that want to talk?
Yeah, we got a couple people here.
All right, do we have time to add more, or are we already on the ticking clock?
We're not on the ticking clock yet.
All right, let me know we're on the ticking clock. So here's what's happening. We have an agreement with Westwood One because we were supposed to carry the Chiefs-Raiders game, and then they were like, do you want to do some radio? And me and Spees were like, yeah. So we're cutting the game in half. So once the game goes to halftime, the clock is ticking.
We got T-minus 1 minute and 11 seconds to ticking clock time.
Oh, great.
We got plenty of time.
I mean, that could be another 10 minutes depending on replay and all sorts of other stuff. So until then, we can take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. The Earl of Cicero is on the score. Hello, Earl of Cicero.
Hey, what's going on?
What's on your mind?
Last time I talked to you was 3 years ago when we hired Eberflus. I said it was a bad call, and now it sure looks like I'm right. Now, the scary part is our president, Mr. Warren. This guy has not even come out. All he cares about, it seems to me, is the stadium. He doesn't have said nothing at all about what direction the team's going to go, as we see. It's not going anywhere good. And I'm hoping this Thomas guy, I like him. He reminds me a little bit of the Steelers coach.
Tomlin?
He has that aura about him. I hope, like you said, I hope he makes it. But Bill Belichick would be the perfect build for me because he knows how to handle a top-notch quarterback.
Let me speak to a couple of your points, Earl of Cicero. One, here's the thing about how this plays out with Kevin Warren. I imagine that Kevin Warren felt on solid ground with Ryan Poles. That role of president of a football team is usually a business guy. His sole purpose should be to get the stadium thing done. I feel like he's bungled that, but whatever. We don't know if he knows how to run a football operation, and my guess would be no. We also don't know if he knows anyone or knows how to run an interview process for someone to run a football operation. Now, my guess on that would be yes, that he knows enough people that he can put the best candidates out there if he decides to move on from Ryan Poles, or if he decides, or since they have moved on from Matt Eberflus. The other part of this, when you say Bill Belichick,
fam, do you think that the franchise that was scared of Jim Harbaugh is going to hire Bill Belichick? And if you're Bill Belichick, you want to deal with this? You worked for maybe the best owner in the game, in Robert Kraft. You want to come here? That man is going to ask for all of the power. And he's earned that right. Maybe he wants the job because he is a student of history. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the move. Hey, Paulie, you're on the score.
Hey, great show, man. Great show. I'll try to make it quick. Thomas Brown, it's a done deal. He's plus 625. Take him for a nickel now. He'll take $5 million. He'll do two things. He'll fulfill two positions. He'll be the head coach and the offensive coordinator.
But what if he's not good over the next 5 weeks?
It doesn't matter. He's in. They're going to give him a chance. That's how they roll, unless you know another guy that'll take $5 million, because that's their budget.
I'll take $5
million. You're not going to pay $20 for Johnson. You're not going to pay $20 for Belichick. They wouldn't pay $16 for Harbaugh, but that's a different issue as to why he didn't come here. That's because of Warren. But let me talk to you about the shares, because nobody ever likes to talk about that, and I know you know your stuff. I just heard you say something. The team's worth $6 billion. The minute they announced they're going to Arlington, and they are going to Arlington, the team's worth $12 billion. That, what was built into this is that when Ginny passes, the heirs get first shot at her 5%. So just picture this. She passes. They go into a bank, and they borrow the $300 million for her 5% as it is now. The next day, they say they're going to Arlington. That $300 million is worth $600 million. It's a done deal. Okay, those two issues. Thomas Brown is in, and they're waiting on Ginny to pass, because the minute she passes and they announce, the team's worth twice as much.
I appreciate the phone call. I understand where you're going with this. First of all, as I said, I don't know that Virginia McCaskey is ever going to die. She might outlive us all. Secondly, there is my issue with the Bears, and I'd have to talk to people who are more in the know than I am on this. You're talking about valuation. And I've got questions about actual cash flow. I think that's part of the reason why all of a sudden it was, you know what we should do? We should totally go back to the city. We should do that. Oh, yeah? Why is that? Well, I mean, you know, we should get the state to help us pay for this thing. Oh, y'all ain't got it? And I know that there aren't a bunch of totally financed places. Like in LA, you have to pay for it yourself. But I am, because of the way that the shares are divvied up, I have questions about liquidity with the McCaskey family. That's all. And I, for one, am not out here waiting for Virginia McCaskey to die. I want her to go through that hallway with a cricket bat and hit people in the head. That's my fan fiction. Why should she have to suffer? She's been through a lot in 102 years on this planet. A bunch of world wars. Like a bunch. Sean, she's been through a bunch of world wars.
That's what I was saying to Alex. Like, he's 100% correct. A bunch is correct.
Yes.
As in multiple.
Yes.
The oldest thing in the world. She's seen two of them.
Yes. Think about this. You know how people talk about the best thing since sliced bread? I want to say Virginia McCaskey.
Did she get to enjoy the novelty of sliced bread?
Oh, yeah.
Because
that was 1927 or 28. Yeah. She experienced sliced bread.
That's
right.
I mean, that's
And all I'm saying is, y'all been trying to get her up out of here, and she ain't going nowhere.
But Lawrence, don't you understand? It's the McCaskies.
I'm Team Virginia all day, every day. She ain't going nowhere, and she don't have to. And y'all need to stop. I need her to give me a cricket bat. So anytime one of y'all be talking about her going somewhere, I can hit you in the head with it. I would like to be ordained by Virginia McCaskey to whack people with a cricket bat when they're like, oh, just wait till Virginia dies. No. She gonna outlive you, fam. You're going to be up in heaven and be like, Virginia McCaskey's 117 years old? Yep.
And she could swing this cricket bat.
That's right. And guess what? When she gets to heaven and she finds out that you were out here talking that mess, she going to hit you with a cricket bat. I'm Team Virginia. Y'all can kiss my ass. Hey, Terry, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you, buddy?
I'm
Trash
good.
Can Man, by the way.
What's on your mind, sir? My life for you.
My life for you. That's what I was getting at. I've been watching this. It's the same thing over and over and over. It's second verse, same as the first. It's lather, rinse, repeat. It's Chicken Little, the sky is falling. It's the boy who cried wolf. Every 3 years we have to change coach and change coordinators. We got to. When is it going to stop? And I'm Team Virginia too. But as long as she's alive, I don't think there's going to be any change, sir.
Yeah. But again, cricket bat to your face. That's what's going to happen to you. Just saying. Wait, is the clock ticking now, boys? Are we ticking? Okay.
We got 10 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. We can talk to some more people.
10 minutes is still a world of time.
It is. I'm skeptical. Oh, wait. No, thanks for the parenthetical on this one, Sean. Joe is in Milwaukee. Hey, Joe, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. So I guess my question is, basically, pray gosh it doesn't happen, but
see?
Virginia McCaskey.
See, you're going to get hit in the head with a cricket bat. I'm just saying. Go ahead. Go on ahead. Yeah, you just said I'm trying to tell you, all that's going to happen is that woman is going to show up at your door and it's going to go. And you're going to be like, who's that knocking in the middle of the night? You're going to open the door. Whack. It's going to be Virginia McCaskey hitting you in the head with a cricket bat. Go ahead with your point, though.
But what is going to happen when that, if that ever happens, goes down? Who's going to be the next management? Is it going to be George?
Yeah,
another thing is
George is in charge of the team. So yes, he would be the guy that's in charge of it.
And how do you feel about that?
George is in charge of. Here's the thing, I like George as a person and as a man. I think that I also think that he genuinely loves Bears football and Bears fans. I have seen it multiple times play out when I was covering the team and he was running the ticket office. That guy cares about Bears stuff. That doesn't mean that he knows how to run a franchise. And you would think through osmosis. That's one thing that I honestly don't understand about a ton of this stuff. Even with Ted, people get mad at Ted. People go, oh, Ted's an accountant, blah, 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 blah. Sure, he's an accountant, but he's an accountant inside the NFL. And with all of the meetings, all of the years, all of the time that you spend around something, you would think that you pick up some things. Like, I've been in radio for a long time. There's plenty of things about radio that I still don't know, but I understand the functionality. If you were to put me in charge of a radio station, say The Score, it wouldn't burn to the ground because I would know how to run it. And let me tell you something. I get those salespeople in line. We have meetings every day.
Collaboration?
No, it's what Mitch would call, I have to be very careful the way I say this, a chit. Not chit-chat. It's going to be a chit up in here. Have them get on it. Give my guy Emma some deals or something. You guys would hate it if I were in charge of this place.
As long as there's no cricket bats involved.
Well, hey, Kyle, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how's it going, man?
Things are good, man. What's on your mind?
Not much. So let me just preface by saying this. I'm a 21-year-old college student, so my knowledge and suffering as a Bears fan is not as bad as yours. The only regimes that I've gotten to know is the Phillips Pace and then this one we got going on. And you kind of already addressed it. You said you were saving it for another day, but you kind of just told them how you really felt. But, you know, to Ryan Poles, is like, I'm a big fan of Ryan Poles still. I you know, outside of the trade, I really like, you know, how he comes from Kansas City, you know, one of the best run organizations. So, I was going to ask you, like, why do you think, you know, the things you think about him, but you kind of already explained that. But my other question for you is, a lot of people are talking about the next head coach for the Bears, and Cliff Kingsbury is one of those names. For me, my biggest concern with Cliff is that when he was with Arizona, his offense started off really good, but then started to decline a little bit, and now we're starting to see the same thing up in Washington. And granted, you know, they got Jaden Daniels, and he's a rookie, and, you know, sometimes rookie quarterbacks will regress, so I was wondering what your thoughts were on, you know, Cliff Kingsbury being a potential hire.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I think that Cliff will be on some short lists around the league and maybe with the Bears. I do think that the Kingsbury swoon is legitimate, but I also think, and Jaden Daniels talked about it last week, he's like, man, I've hit a wall. Like, I'm tired. These are a lot of games, and it's a lot of stress. So I understand where you're coming from, but he's definitely going to get interviewed. If not by the Bears, by other teams that have openings. Brian Daboll is going to get interviewed. There are other jobs out there that might be attractive. Like, for example, if you're out here thinking about Ben Johnson might want to coach that Cincinnati team if they make a move this year. It's a lot out there, man. Pat is out in Cedar Lake. Hey, Pat, you're on the score.
Hey, what's up, Lawrence? How you doing, man? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. What's on your mind?
Nothing. I called it. I didn't know where to really begin. Like, McCaskey, you can't do anything about them. Like, so at least in the short term, like, long story short, the Bears probably aren't going to change. But if we're looking at the cup half full, you got to at least hope that they can get a decent coach in here. And I think the more damaging thing yesterday was on – might have even been on more on Poles than on Eberflus, and that's saying a lot. But, I mean, Poles, and you said it earlier, Poles was, like, the only dude that was like, hey, this is my guy. Like this is who's going to run the ship here. And after these last 6 weeks, and especially after yesterday, like, and you said with what's-his-face, Matty Ice, like, holding no bars against, like, just completely bashing him. And how much faith do we even have that Poles is going to make the next right decision? And where do you think his level of hot seat should be for next year?
I appreciate the phone call. I don't think that Ryan Poles should feel comfortable at all. That's your man's. You vouched for him. Your man's went out here and wet the bed repeatedly after having a history of it. We haven't even gotten to the part where Eberflus had to fire his own coaches because they were out here doing nonsense. Remember that? That's part of his legacy too. And when you had the chance to hire a coach to match it with your rookie quarterback, you chose not to do it. Now, it doesn't look like it's affecting Caleb Williams, and that's good. It might just mean that Caleb is that damn special. But he should not be comfortable. And I promise you this, I can tell you between 2 and 6, he will not be made to feel comfortable. I promise you that. Can I take Frank, or we got to go? Hey, Frank, you're on the score.
Yo, hey, man, what up?
What's happening, Frank?
Aw,
Frank went away. That's all right. I think we did an effective show today, boys. I think we hopefully took care of the score fan Bear listener today.
I think we did. I've been here since 10 o'clock. So
it's time for you to go home, Alex.
And between Gabe and then David, now you, it's been a fun day.
Yeah.
Even though it's been a little chaotic with all the news, it has been a very fun day.
It has been. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to come in here and hang out. And Alex, you and Sean deserve a lot of props. because you weren't expecting to put together actual like shows today, but you did and you rocked it. So thanks to you for working. Thanks to Matt Spiegel for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. We appreciate your support. We truly do. And I promise you, the weekend score stuff is going to be dynamite. The boys and girls have got all sorts of stuff that they want to tell you. I will be back with Spiegs on Monday at 2 o'clock, and we are going to ride. And we're glad that you're riding with us. Thanks to our guy Ryan Porth. Thanks to Mitch Rosen for quarterbacking all of this stuff and getting us on the air. The second half of the Chiefs-Raiders game is coming up next here on The Score. See you on Monday.